Chapter 2. My Forgotten Childhood. To be diagnosed with ADHD as an adult typically requires demonstrating that you had it as a child and that you displayed symptoms before age 12. What a catch-22! If you have ADHD, you have a poor memory and can't remember instances that demonstrate having it as a child. Or the few instances you do remember that might be ADHD-related are not significant enough to persuade the diagnosing physician that you have the condition. I am glad to learn that some knowledgeable diagnosticians are now saying it is inappropriate to expect adults with ADHD to remember incidents from their childhood. Today, not remembering will not disqualify someone from obtaining a diagnosis as an adult. Fortunately, I was diagnosed without stressing out about not having any or enough validating childhood memories. As an adult, I am not hyperactive, a hallmark of ADHD's more commonly diagnosed form. I get restless, but don't have trouble running or climbing at inappropriate times, or trouble playing quietly. As described in the DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Yet, maybe I did as a child. My parents are no longer alive to ask. Although I have few childhood memories, let me tell you what I do remember. You can judge whether this was typical child-adolescent behavior or whether I acted this way because of undiagnosed ADHD. I am the third child and the second girl in a family of two boys and two girls. I grew up in the factory town of Leominster, Massachusetts, with a population of 20,000, located 50 miles west of Boston. Many parents of my classmates worked in one of the two plastic factories in town. We were one of the wealthier families, and our home was a two-story, colonial-style house, dark gray with a fuchsia pink door. It was at the top of a hill on a street lined with maple trees called Grove Avenue. My father was proud to own this house. He occasionally sat in his car in front of it and asked of no one in particular, "Who lives in this beautiful home?" He earned his way through college and law school. And my mother, before marriage at age 25, was a secretary and lived with her parents. Owning this house was a dream come true for both of them. In 1950, when I was 7 years old, I spent a week at Children's Hospital in Boston for an evaluation. My parents must have had some concerns about me. I speculate it was my undiagnosed inattentive ADHD, not being aware of where my body was in space, my clumsiness, and my lack of coordination. My parents often said I had the heebie-jeebies, meaning the jitters. I knocked over my glass of milk at almost every meal. The doctors were unsure what was wrong, but they diagnosed me with probable Huntington's chorea or rheumatic fever. Do the symptoms of Huntington's chorea replicate any symptoms of ADHD? From an internet search, I learned that chorea, the most common involuntary movement problem in Huntington's disease, often leads to clumsiness. Physicians familiar with chorea describe the movements as restless or fidgeting. Could the restlessness or fidgeting of chorea be the squirming and fidgeting symptoms of the hyperactive impulsive type of ADHD? From my internet search, I also learned that Huntington's chorea does not appear until adulthood. Maybe the doctors did not know that about Huntington's disease when they diagnosed me at age 7. Some symptoms of rheumatic fever, my other diagnosis, are the same as ADHD. Jerky, uncontrollable movements of the hands, feet, and face, and a decrease in attention span. Like all medical professionals in 1950, the doctors who evaluated me did not know about ADHD. Since Huntington's chorea has no treatment, they might have diagnosed me with rheumatic fever because it has a treatment. I took penicillin, an antibiotic, for 5 years, which I am sure would go against good medical judgment today. I never developed the other symptoms of rheumatic fever and never had problems with my heart, a common concern when a person has rheumatic fever. I occasionally returned to Children's Hospital for follow-up visits, as I remember liking Dr. Barnes, who kept asking me to squeeze his hand with my right and left hand. My sister remembers that I was kept home from school for a while, but I don't remember this. My father's workbench was in the garage where my mother parked her beach wagon, commonly called a station wagon. The wooden workbench was about 3 feet high and 5 feet long, and on one end there was a bank of drawers also 3 feet tall. On top of the drawers, my father stored several bottles of dangerous chemicals that he used in the vegetable garden or for chores around the house. It was another long afternoon, with only my 4-year-old brother to play with, and we had run out of things to do. I had never climbed onto the workbench, but I decided to try. It was a struggle for a 7-year-old, but I raised myself with my arms, swung one leg up, rolled forward, and got the rest of my body onto the workbench. I made it! I stood up and proudly exclaimed, "Asa, look at me! I bet you can't climb up here!" My brother stood watching me with wary but also curious and admiring eyes. He shook his head. He was not willing to try. What was I going to do next? I didn't know myself, but having his attention, I turned and studied the bottles on top of the drawers. Asa continued to stare, sharing my fascination with these containers we were not supposed to touch. One was the size of a large soda bottle, partially filled with a clear liquid. I reached up, grabbed it, and jumped down from the workbench. "Here, this looks like water. Aren't you thirsty?" I removed the cap and sniffed. The liquid had no smell, and I held the bottle out to Asa. "Take a sip." He looked at me for reassurance. "Here, don't be a fraidy cat." Years later, after my diagnosis, I wrote a short article for an ADHD publication, Being Smart and Acting Stupid, describing the BSAS syndrome. Acting without engaging my brain. Impulsivity, poor judgment, and abnormal risk-taking are hallmarks of ADHD. People without this disorder sometimes act without engaging their brains, but not to the degree, intensity, or frequency of people with ADHD. My BSAS syndrome was certainly on display that day in our family garage. Eager to please me, Asa took a swallow from the bottle I handed him and immediately burst into tears. "My mouth burns! My stomach hurts! I want Mommy! Please be quiet! Stop crying! You stay here!" I rushed up the basement stairs and into the house. Without stopping to catch my breath, I yelled, "Mom, come quick! Asa drank something he shouldn't, and he's feeling sick!" She took him to the hospital, where he had his stomach pumped. He returned home shortly, fully recovered. I don't remember the rest of the story, but I probably got a spanking. I didn't think jumping down an entire flight of stairs, all 10 of them, would be considered ADHD behavior until I read the memoir of a woman with ADHD who mentions jumping a full flight of stairs as a child. So there are at least 2 of us who found this risk-taking activity a fun thing to do. I was 8 years old when I jumped stairs with my 10-year-old sister Melissa and my 12-year-old brother Elisha. They jumped from the 8th step to the landing below, farther than in previous jumping contests, before they quit to do something else. But I persisted. Could I jump more than they had? Could I jump 9 steps? I safely did so. How about 10 steps, the entire flight? I climbed to the top step and looked down. The distance was intimidating, and I hesitated, but only momentarily. I could not suppress my impulsiveness and risk-taking. I wanted to surpass my siblings. I took a deep breath, crouched down, and jumped with all my strength. I soared through space, but as I came in for the landing, my left ankle slammed into the newel post. I landed, spread-eagled, on the carpeted floor. The pain in my ankle was excruciating. I cried out, but no one heard me. Or maybe no one wanted to hear me. That is how it is with 4 rambunctious children in a family. It seemed like forever before my parents finished eating supper and my father came out of the kitchen to find out why I was whimpering and pleading for help. "Did you sprain your ankle?" I didn't know the word's meaning, but I said in my most pitiful voice, "Yes, I sprained it. See how swollen it is?" He took a quick glance and drove me to the hospital for x-rays. I came home with a plaster cast on my ankle and lower left leg. Whether I jumped stairs ever again, I don't recall. It hardly mattered. It certainly was not the last time I did something without thinking. ADHD is a neurological disorder that affects the parts of the brain that help people plan, focus on, and execute tasks.